Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke! Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody, to Dueling Tangents. It's a Tuesday, from what I understand. I'm just getting my sense of time and gravity and, you know, reality back around me. And guess what? All the news in the world just dumped. But you're going to listen to us talk about it here on WTTN 1580 AM and 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio out in Madison. And I'm here in Waukesha. I'm listening. You're listening to me on 101 FM, The Shaw, as well as 540 AM. That's WAUK.
Yeah.
And you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can check us out on Facebook. You can check us out on Devil Radio, the app. You can check us out pretty much everywhere. And you can text us at the same line, 844-967-2789. It's been a while since I've had adrenaline going into a show, but some things happened last night.
That's because you took last week off. I mean,
yeah.
Well,
there's enough things happened last week while I was in Florida, and then now I come back and I'm barely conscious, and now we have Roe v. Wade and all this stuff. So why don't you catch us up on our actual thing and then introduce our wonderful guest here?
Yeah, and I always like to promote my favorite platform for doom scrolling. You can also follow the station and the show on Twitter. All the handles are on our social medias. But yeah, Brian, it's been an interesting. Quite full of 24 hours.
Not this, even this 24
news,
hours.
Yeah, this news broke yesterday evening, and it was pretty shocking because I actually was, as my New Year's resolution, I was unplugged from the politics. I was not focused on politics last night, and then I got pulled in, which is funny because I was sitting and watching portions of the Met Gala red carpet with my girlfriend. That's what she wanted to watch, and so I was like, I don't care. And the theme yesterday, Brian, was the Gilded Age. And it's almost, this news broke, and I found it almost shockingly just ironic, because it was the Gilded Age at the Met Gala, and now apparently the United States Supreme Court has taken its cue from that theme this year and wants to send the country back to that time.
Because what a wonderful time.
Last night it broke that there is a draft opinion piece from the U.S. Supreme Court showing that the justices have already voted to overturn Roe v. Wade. So this story broke, and it's been pretty much the top of the headlines all day. It's what we're going to talk about. And I'm really excited because we are joined this afternoon by Dane County Supervisor Annalise Eicher of the 3rd District to talk to us about her reaction and kind of where the state of Wisconsin is going to be with this decision that was breaking last night and is expected to be formally announced later this summer. Annalise, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hi, Luke and Brian, and thanks for having me on this afternoon. Not well. I think as a customary answer to the question of how am I doing. It's great, but no, not today. Not so well today.
Yeah, this news is gut wrenching. It's a slap in the face to Wisconsinites, Americans, anybody that's been paying attention to this issue, specifically this issue, the issue of abortion access in America. For years, there have been alarm bells ringing saying that the conservative court was moving in this direction. A lot of people, moderate or conservatives, had said that those were false alarms. Those were not to be concerned. We had sitting Republican U.S. senators saying that they talked to the justices confirmed over the last 4 to 5 years by the previous administration that Roe v. Wade was codified law and it wasn't going to be overturned. Apparently, the first opportunity that the court had in this Mississippi case that the court heard earlier this year, or I believe last year, and the arguments started being circulated back in February, show now that this court, at least 5 justices on the court, have decided to overturn precedent and rule that this is back up to the states. And so that's my initial understanding of it, is that that is what is going to happen. This is going to overturn federal protections of the constitutional right to an abortion for Americans, and it is going to send it back to the states. It's going to be more of a patchwork of laws rather than a federally protected right to health care. And so that means here in Wisconsin that we're going to have, because we are one of, I believe, 10 or 11 states that has already on the books an existing law that outlaws abortion. And so we're going to have a patchwork here. And the best reference that Brian and I could really identify is similar to how marijuana laws are currently being thrown around in states, because it's federally, it's still illegal, but it's left to the states in a lot of manners to deal with the issue. And here in Wisconsin, with the state dealing with the issue, it's outlawed. And what do you believe when this decision comes out? What do you think that's going to look like for the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, thanks, Luke. So, you know, this is a draft opinion. And it in itself is I think something that, you know, a lot of folks are looking at, you know, sort of what does this mean and what's happening with it and why now? This was drafted in February, and what does this mean for the court? What does this mean for, you know, the eventual decision? You know, what does this mean for concurrence, dissents, any number of those things that we, you know, see when we get Supreme Court decisions, which typically happen in June. And so, you know, I think that there's a lot of us who have been, you know, following and working on this issue, and working to protect the right to abortion in this country, and also understanding that, you know, this is also about supporting elected officials on every level of government, to you know, electing people who share that value, and understand that right. And the, you know, so there are, you know, I think a lot of questions that still exist. I think that there are a lot of people who, even though, you know, we have been following and preparing for this kind of moment, you know, are still a bit in shock that it's here. I mean, there are some people that are also processing this for the first time today, or last night, and did not think that, you know, we would be in a position as a country, you know, to be going back. But there has been a sustained campaign by the far right, for decades, attacking this right. And it has been, you know, chipped away at, you know, year after year. And there are some states, as you mentioned, you know, that what's it going to look like in states? There are some states that, you know, have redone their laws. There are some states that have, you know, protected that right explicitly. And unfortunately, Wisconsin is a state that has a criminal abortion statute on our books, that was not overturned. There has been legislation over the years, you know, seeking to overturn that. And that has not been successful. So, you know, what does this look like in Wisconsin? You know, there's I think a couple questions as to, you know, what the final opinion will look like. But if this is, you know, turned back over to the states, Wisconsin becomes a state where abortion is criminalized. And I think it raises any number of other, you know, questions about, you know, how to protect that right, how that is, you know, implemented, you know, how that, you know, process works. What is that, you know, what does that look like? And for many of us, like, we, you know, there's abortion has been legal for a long time in this country. And there are, you know, many folks who are, you know, generations before me who understand and know what it was like before. But there are also generations like mine who, you know, we don't know what it's like to not have access to safe legal abortion. And we can get into any number of these things, but I think that, you know, depending on this decision, you know, our electing people at every level of government, you know, becomes that much more important. And particularly with our DAs, our district attorneys, and our attorney general. I think those offices, you know, let alone all of the other ones, become that much more important to the fight to protect safe legal abortion in Wisconsin.
Thank goodness we have Josh Call. Josh Call just released a statement today saying you're not going to good luck prosecuting while I'm in charge. So we at least did the right thing and did a statewide election and won that one. I saw a tweet interesting earlier that this is the first generation of American women who will potentially have less rights than their grandmothers and their mothers. That's a very interesting thought. Going back to Josh Call, if he's not going to prosecute, and a lot of other, you know, DAs around the state may decide not to, again, you know, if I get pulled over, like Luke was saying, if I get pulled over with a bunch of weed, it's really several different discretionary things. But this is talking about that's possession of drugs. We're talking about bodily autonomy. You know, we're not just talking about, you know, just an abortion here. We're talking about bodily autonomy. Like, if I die and my liver can help you because you need a liver transplant right now, you can't take it from me. You can't. You cannot forcibly ask me to do that. You're not even a prisoner. But this is what it's about. So this is the discussion we're going to have, and I really, really appreciate you being here, Annalise. Because two white guys that are, you know, really, really shouldn't be talking about this and all that stuff without having at least a woman to come in and talk to us, please. So, yes.
Yes, and folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, but you can join the conversation at any time. Give us a call, send us a text, 844-967-2789. We're joined by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor, and we're going to be right back, folks.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. We're talking to Annalise Eicher. We're talking about the recent leaked, you know, I knew the first thing that everybody on the right was going to be saying is, oh, it's leaked, oh, the leaker, oh, what's it? It's a horrible thing that things were leaked and then leaked and all of the leaker and who's the leaker and where did it come from and why did it come from here and why am I getting leaked on and why is the leaking happening? I hate it. Oh, the leaker. Never mind what the actual substance of the matter
is. No. Don't pay any attention to the monumental, the 50 years of legal precedent we are throwing out the window. Pay no attention to that. We got to go find whoever this leaker is, because that's what senators from Mitt Romney to Josh Hawley are circulating today. That's where their outrage is.
They're right. Just find the leaker.
Yeah, they are all concentrated on that. When they and some of them are putting out statements like, not only we got to find this leaker, but oh yeah, I really am glad that opinion is what's circulating. And if it becomes the actual opinion, fantastic. And so I think that it was an interesting dynamic, though. And I don't know if this is at all where you went, Annalise, when you first heard this of how this came about. Because this is the first time, at least to my understanding and to everything I've been seeing today, this is one of the first times the Supreme Court draft opinion has ever been leaked. And so I wanted to know, well, how did it leak that? Why now? Why this specific case? And so I myself figured that this was actually, my gut told me that the person that leaked this was probably pretty upset with the fact that they had a similar viewpoint as, say, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, two U.S. senators that are Republicans, but confirm that they believed, and they had the justices tell them, that Roe v. Wade was codified law. They believed in a woman's right, or so they say, to have equal access to abortion. And so my belief was, well, this has got to be somebody that was pretty upset with that system. Maybe they're a woman that's been in the Supreme Court workings for a while, clerked for maybe one of the conservative justices, and also had that belief that Roe was codified law. And then these five justices went and circulated this opinion, and they've already voted on it. The draft was being worked on, and that they were upset with the fact that it was getting overturned. But now I've also found an interesting legal analysis, and I don't know if this is what you think either, Annalise, but this is what I saw. And it was a Yale law professor, Amy, I'm going to butcher this last name, Kapczynski? I'm sorry, Professor Kapczynski, if I'm pronouncing your last name incorrectly. I doubt you're listening, but if you are, I do apologize.
Everybody's an avid listener.
Everybody's an avid listener. I got a story about that tomorrow. But today, we're going to talk about this. So Professor Kapczynski pretty much says, well, why would the timing now, if this started circulating back in February, why would you wait until the first week of May to release this? If you were a liberal upset with the opinion, why wouldn't you have released it right away when it first got circulated in February? I think that's an excellent point. But Professor Kapczynski says that she believes that this is somebody that actually believes this opinion. This is one of the farthest right opinions that could be circulating on this decision, and that they wanted it to get released so that they cemented the justices' opinions in place and didn't have any ability for them to move away from this draft circulation. They wanted everybody to have to double down on what was in this draft release. Because if anybody leaves of the five justices now, there's going to be outrage on the right saying that they left because of the public outcries. They didn't let this go through the process. This was the first ever leak, and it's because of the leak, like all the conservatives are saying right now, that changed it away from what this draft was circulated as. And I find that just fascinating. And the fact that if this is how the conservatives wanted, they were so worried that they were actually going to lose one of these votes, that the only thing the conservatives could do was release this opinion to cement this decision and make sure that it happened this summer, Annalise.
Yeah, Luke, you and I read the same thread. I spent a lot of time doom scrolling on our Twitter. I think there's any number of theories. There's any number of questions. I think things have been accidentally leaked in the past, but you know, this seems pretty deliberate given the response from the right, to focus not on the, you know, content, but on the process. And, you know, I think that, you know, is this to force hands of justices potentially? Is this likely a part of public negotiation that, you know, they've decided that they're, you know, that they want to have on this issue, and, you know, gauging public outcry and interest and what that, you know, might be also possible. I don't know that we'll ever have a clear answer as to, you know, why and who leaked this. But it's unfortunate. And, if you're not talking about the substance and you'd rather be talking about the leak, then, you know, like Senator Ron Johnson, you might want to reconsider where you're at.
I haven't seen our senior senator's comments yet on this, so I'm going to have to go look for those once we're off the air, because
they're pretty much exactly what you had said.
Okay.
Man, this leak is horrible. It's unprecedented. It's lawless. That being said, now that you've mentioned it, good job.
Great. Great. That is our senior senator of Wisconsin. That is just fantastic. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We are joined by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor, and we're talking about the political piece that dropped last night. The Supreme Court has voted to overturn Roe v. Wade, draft opinion circulating online, and we're talking about the consequences and the fallout of what this decision will mean for Wisconsin and the nation. We're taking your calls, 844-967-2789. And Brian, I think the interesting, and you brought up the Josh Call piece already, but there's a number of Wisconsin officials that are reacting to this story, and we're seeing a lot of candidates reacting to it as well.
Well, if you don't like the senior senator or from the senior, either way, Tammy Baldwin has a really good bill that's ready to go. So if you want to go and, you know, maybe look at your two senators and see which one is doing something for you, maybe look at, I don't know, Tammy Baldwin, who's already got a bill ready to go and pretty much codify this whole thing and take it out of the hands of the Supreme Court, which is where it should be in the first place. And every single justice who is there getting confirmed has said over and over again, this really, we shouldn't be legislating from the bench. We should be, you know, adjudicating laws as they are being applied. But come back with us, 844-967-2789. But I'm made in a wrong call. Headed in a good place. Welcome back, everybody, to Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. There's a little dueling pianos here with Christopher Cross and a little bit of Michael McDonald here. A little shout-out here to our friend Annalise Eicher requesting some Christopher Cross. And did I say, not only did I have it already, but I have it cut. And it's I love this song. And my daughter loves this song because she wants to run to the corner of Mexico, which is not the case, but... because there's not the corner of Mexico. It's the border of Mexico. But she calls it the corner of Mexico, and from then on, it's been the corner of Mexico. But either way, with this wonderful possible leaked decision here by the Supreme Court, we may be running to the border of Illinois if we need reproductive services and things like that because, you know, hooray, Wisconsin, staying with the 187-year law that is still on the books. Congratulations, us. But basically, they're turning their backs. These Supreme Court justices have basically shown they're looking to turn their backs on what they've told us earlier, especially in their confirmation hearings. And I want to give you a quote I just found from Susan Collins. She's released a statement because Susan Collins went to bat for these people when they were being confirmed. And she says, if this leaked draft opinion is the final decision and this reporting is accurate, it would be completely inconsistent with what Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh said in their hearings and in our meetings in my office. Obviously, we don't know each justice decision and reasoning until the Supreme Court officially announces its opinion in this case. So she is still
giving them the benefit of the doubt, like,
yes.
Till it absolutely, like, the building could be on fire, and Senator Collins of Maine would just be like,
they may have their reasons for letting it on
calm.
Fire.
Let's understand why the fire got started first. It is just outstanding that she is not more upset because pretty much for each one of these nominees to lie to her, to her face, and her to have that reaction, Brian, shows just how much actual gravity she has given to this issue because this draft opinion, like I said, it seems like the fact that it is leaked is only going to confirm that this is going to be the vote that comes out later this summer.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, this is Susan Collins' MO. I mean, this has been her, you know, take any issue. This has been where Susan Collins is and how she operates, you know, since she's been in office. And, you know, elections mean something, which, you know, is why I've said a couple times now, it matters who we elect at every level of government. You know, we have this criminal abortion statute on the books in Wisconsin, and, you know, it matters that we have Josh Call, who's, you know, not willing to prosecute. It matters who our DAs are. And, you know, I will say from a Dean County perspective, you know, I've personally asked, you know, what can we do as a local county board if this happens, if this does, you know, get struck down. And it really is, there's not a lot for us to do as a legislative branch, because this is a criminal statute, and it really is on our attorney general and our DAs. And so we have started conversations at the DA's office. Those are ongoing. You know, if folks are interested in, you know, in engaging their elected officials on this, you know, they should start with their district attorneys, and they should ask, you know, the attorney general candidates where they are on this. because those are the, you know, every elected office matters, but particularly on this issue, those are the ones that are going to matter the most.
Yeah, and that's really helpful information to know what's going on here in Dane County for that district attorney conversation and what the county level government can be doing. There's also a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today saying that the Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm says that an abortion ban is not helpful addition to anything that the prosecutor wants to get involved in. And so it really seems like, yes, Josh Call at the top at the state level here in the state of Wisconsin saying that he is not going to put resources towards any type of investigation or prosecution for this, and district attorneys in Dane and Milwaukee County saying similar or having similar maybe vibes as that. But Annalise, is this something that can just flip back and forth between whoever is in the attorney general's office? Is that a sustainable solution for the question of equal access to abortion here in the state of Wisconsin? Is that something that Wisconsinites can sustain?
No, is the short answer. This is not something that, you know, this is not a consistent solution to safe access, to safe legal abortion in Wisconsin, right? This is the purview of the attorney, you know, attorney general to pursue it. It is the purview of the DA as to whether or not that DA wants to pursue, you know, charges or any of that. And so, you know, you talked earlier about, you know, this patchwork of states, with their differing laws. I mean, we could easily see a patchwork of, you know, county approaches here. And that's not a sustainable solution to protecting access to abortion. And, you know, it would have been, you know, we need this federal law. We need it, you know, a state law that provides that protection for that right. But, you know, what is our option right now? It's electing an AG who believes in this, and it's electing DAs who will not enforce the law and not make it a priority in their county.
I want to clarify what that law actually is. Because, I mean, we're talking about this, we go back to the precedent, the 187-year law about outlawing abortion, but do they go after the mother? Do they go after the father? Do they go after, from what I understand, they go after the physician. Now, you're talking about, we were talking about going, you know, across the border, maybe to Illinois or something like that. Well, what obligation is it under let's say a state trooper to go pull over someone, to go and say, are you pregnant? Or is that even going to be a situation? Or is this like, how does this get implemented? Let's say you do have a DA that wants to prosecute. How does this even get implemented or even become a thing? Are we going to have, like, you know, stands with people being thrown? I don't think it's as bad as the Texas law where you can turn in your neighbor for suspicion. But how does this get implemented if it does happen?
You know, I'm going to be honest, Brian, I haven't spent too much time thinking about that. Because it's not something that I, you know, necessarily want to spend my mental energy on. Right. It's more important to me, you know, as a human being, as a woman in Wisconsin, as an elected official in Wisconsin, you know, to be finding the ways to protect the right. Will that at some point, you know, entail understanding, you know, how folks are going to look to further criminalize, you know, individuals? Probably. But, you know, right now, abortion is legal in Wisconsin. We are not to a point of it being overturned yet. You know, there's a threat, and of course, you know, that's why we're talking. But, you know, we also have, elections coming up. There's a lot of folks on the ballot, including the attorney general, including, you know, district attorneys across the state. And that's the kind of stuff that's going to matter. And, you know, how does this get implemented? Great question. What is it, you know, what does it look like? Haven't thought about it yet. But, you know, I know that there are folks who are mobilizing to protect access to abortion care. And who are unfortunately already, you know, going back to the practices of the, you know, generations before me, because the reality is that abortion has always happened. You know, it's whether it's being done in a safe and a safe manner. And that is where a lot of folks are focused at the moment.
Well, and I think a lot of conservatives don't necessarily have an answer for that either. They don't know how this is going to be enforced, because to me it seems very much like the dog that was chasing the car that didn't know what to do when it actually caught the bumper. It bit into the bumper and it doesn't know what to do now, because the enforcement is an important question, and I know Brian asks it because we've talked about that in prepping for this show, when this issue has been kicked around before. In the headlines, we're saying how would you do something like that, and I think the big thing comes that by criminalizing abortion providers from being able to provide that aspect of healthcare to individuals, it further creates a socioeconomic divide, because the people that are well off, that have healthcare providers or family doctors that are willing to go and do this procedure, even though it is criminalized, they will still go about and do it, because it will be a quote unquote form of white collar crime, that if you have the access to do it and you have the resources and the healthcare provider that will do it, people aren't going to, the criminal prosecution will not come for those individuals. But for individuals that are not as well off, the individuals that depend on clinics like Planned Parenthood for all aspects of healthcare, not just abortion access, it further prevents them from being able to have this option of healthcare and body autonomy, as Brian alluded to earlier. And so it's not, conservatives want to say that, oh, if we outlaw abortion, it's gone, boom, no more abortion, everybody, you wipe your hands, this is done, we've solved it, we outlawed it, we solved it, it's no longer a problem. But like you said, abortion before Roe v. Wade was still happening. It's the fact that safe access to abortion for women that needed the procedure or wanted the procedure to be able to go and have that option done safely is what Roe v. Wade codified into law for the better part of the last 50 years. And with that going away, it really does further the economic divides and the socioeconomic divides I believe we see as a country. And here in Wisconsin, I think that just further means that there's already pieces being written up in the State Journal about how healthcare providers here in Wisconsin want to go open clinics in South Beloit. And like Brian and I alluded to, this isn't marijuana. This is... that was the best indication of how the patchwork of laws would be, but this is not going and picking up something at a dispensary in the south of the border, because that state decided to legalize weed and use it as revenue source. This is talking about now healthcare access that is fundamental to a woman's body autonomy. And what is it going to look like? I'm so confused, because there's so many different ways we could go with this, Annalise. I'm sorry. There's a number of things that we could dive into here, but it really, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and sometimes I go off on a tangent, and that's where that one ended, folks.
Thanks, Luke. Folks, you're listening to us on WAUK 540 AM. I don't even think I said that. I was so excited to get back in here. My adrenaline's running. You're listening to us on 540 AM WAUK, as well as 101 FM The Shaw in Waukesha, as well as Madison WTTN 1580 and 92.7 FM Devil Radio. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We have about a minute and a half left in this segment. But, yeah, there's a lot of implications with this, and a lot of ins and outs.
Looking for a silver lining. Is there enough time if this proposal that Senator Tammy Baldwin apparently has set to go, if the Senate decided that it wanted to overrule the filibuster and pass this, Annalise, do you think there's enough time to do that before the elections?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think they should.
You don't think they should? You don't want to?
I don't think they should, because of, and solely stupid political reasons, because I'm not saying this isn't important. I would do it today. We should just do it today and get it done with. But do you know how much they're going to campaign on that? The far left, the far left was worried, so they pushed us over the edge. They got rid of the filibuster, and they pushed something through. Oh, my goodness, the far left is coming to get you guys. Now they showed it. They showed you. See, they're going to turn us seeing the far right coming for us into the far left's coming for you.
And you get to speak from a very, very nice point of privilege there as a white dude, Brian. And that is, you know, it's never wrong to do the right thing, and they should do it.
My goodness, thank you so much. That's why we have you here, Annalise. I appreciate you even more.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your calls. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And I chose this song at the beginning of the show, and I kept pushing it back because I'm like, it didn't fit. And now it absolutely fits because I totally miss you, and this is exactly, you hit exactly on what I've been trying to get at, but I can't necessarily bring up because it's really weird and awkward to do so because it's very ham-handed when I do. And that's the idea that me thinking about, oh, we should wait until the midterms to go and maybe go and do this vote, or thinking in political terms like that, I have no idea what it's like to be on the opposite side of this. I have no idea what it's like to wake up and go, or not even 24 hours ago, go, hey, guess what? Screw you. You know, I don't have that because I do have inherent privilege this way. So I like you to continue with your thought, please, and do not hold back.
I appreciate that, Brian. And, you know, I think, you know, on issues like this, there's, you know, a tendency for folks to, you know, they're going to think about abortion, and then they're going to start, you know, spiraling and think, okay, well, what's next? And there is an inherent sense of privilege in thinking about it that way, and thinking, you know, oh, can we wait to protect this fundamental right, to protect a group of people, to ensure that we're able to make a political gain, when, you know, this is life or death for others. And this is, you know, some of us don't have the choice of moving on from, you know, the initial conversation, and to say, you know, this, then this, then this, and this, and to look at that spiral. And then certainly I think that's, you know, in the back of our minds, but, you know, in the conversations that I have had with, women and men in processing this, you know, it is, you know, we get stuck on that first, and we have to. I mean, we as a country, and I think in part this is how we are here. You know, women and our rights and women's bodily autonomy and the right to access abortion. You know, it tends to be the first thing on the chopping block. When, you know, the first thing that folks are willing to compromise on, it's like, oh, we can't compromise on this, but we can compromise on women. You know, we're half the population, we're, you know, a huge part of, you know, family, economy, you know, you name it. You know, this, women's issues are human issues. I mean, this is, and women's rights are human rights. I mean, that's Hillary Clinton, but like, it is so ingrained and interconnected to every single thing within our society. It's health, it's family, it's all of that. And so, you know, as you are, you know, processing this, you know, today, or when we get an actual decision on this case, you know, by all means, like, you know, take that, you know, take that time, but at the same time, take a second to pause and to think about the implications of this one issue. And, you know, where is your voice in this? you know, is this a place for you to amplify somebody else? You know, if that's something that they want. But, you know, also remembering to be, you know, respectful and thoughtful. You know, some people are very open about, you know, talking about the issue of abortion, and others are not, and that's okay. But, you know, we have to be able to give that space and to recognize, you know, our own privilege within that conversation.
Yeah, and this is it's an incredibly intimate issue, because it's an incredibly intimate decision for somebody to make with their healthcare provider, is the way that I believe that it needs to be, that's how the decision needs to be made. And so I completely agree with that, Annalise, that it is something that it needs to be respected, and we're really appreciative that you were able to take your time this afternoon and join us here on the airwaves on Devil Radio and the Shaw, because it's an issue where I think there's a lot of hot takes that are going to be coming out today. I think there's going to be, everybody's a pundit nowadays. Brian and I jokingly have the at the top of the piece, and ladies and gentlemen, the talking heads, and then that's kind of the role that is new to me for sure, and Brian's done it for a little while here, but to get everybody's take on this issue and all the issues that you just see the spewing of hot takes, and everybody's got a comment, and everybody now trying to cipher through all of those is pretty difficult. But one of the things that I've been almost paying attention to the most in this, because like you said, today abortion is still legal. There's still access to abortion. This decision is not decided. There's still time. Things might change. There's still time for Congress to act. There are a number of outcomes that can occur on this front between now and the upcoming elections. But the concern that I have is what other issues is this Supreme Court going to take this same approach and start walking back as well? Because that, I think, is something that we do need to focus on. And all of the hot takes that are being spewed out today, I think finding out that this court is going to take up any issue that it seems that it believes with 5 votes it can overturn that they don't agree with is incredibly troubling. And does that concern you, some of the other precedents that have been set by the U.S. Supreme Court being reversed in the coming years under this same outline?
It absolutely is a concern, Luke. And, you know, I think that there were any number of cases that were referenced in the draft that, you know, gave some signals to folks who, you know, pay attention and advocate on any number of things. And, you know, so yes, that is going to be, you know, something that we need to watch for. But, you know, at the same time, I'm going to come back to, you know, where I was in the beginning, is that, you know, these judges, they're elected, they're appointed. They're appointed by people who get elected. And elections matter at every single level. You know, you don't get to be, I mean, okay, outside of a couple of the existing Supreme Court justices that were, you know, nominated, but you don't, you know, you start somewhere. And every level matters. And so if we are going to be thinking about how do we protect rights, how do we keep our rights, whether that's the right to an abortion or, you know, any other number of things, you know, we have to think about elections at every level of government.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent point. Annalise Eicher, really appreciate you joining us. Dane County Board Supervisor, 3rd District here. My Dane County representative on the Dane County Board. Really appreciate all the work that you do, and appreciate you taking an hour out of your afternoon to join us here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian today. Folks, if you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, devilradio927.com. You can click on the podcast tab, and on the drop-down menu, we got Dueling Tangents right there. Otherwise, we got the Devil's Advocates coming up next, and Brian, you and I are going to be on these airwaves together tomorrow at 2 p.m. to further talk about this issue or any other number of headlines that will be here in Wisconsin.
I'm told it's going to be Wednesday.
It will be Wednesday tomorrow. It will, folks.
Annalise, really, thank you so much.
Yes, really thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.